This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I'm Chris Spangle. To my left is Gina Martinez. Greg is on the right. Greg Lentz, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
All right. Well, we're all doomed. All right. Thanks for tuning in this week. As always, we promise next week.
Do better next time.
All right. I'm just kidding. So I don't know about you guys. I'm becoming.
There was collective relief by the audience.
They're like, I made it to an ending.
Best podcast ever.
I finally saw the end of a We Are Libertarians. Yay! Like three people told us that Gina's favorite color is red.
Yes.
Also in the crowd is Maya Axton. Maya, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Thanks for tuning in. Maya is not officially on this episode, but I'm sure she'll find a way to get herself on a microphone. And
because Maya belongs on a microphone.
Maya is, I feel like Maya is my own creation, and I feel like Dr. Frankenstein some days.
Everything that I do these days, in the past 6 months, everything I've done is your fault.
I know. So, America, you can blame me. And, hey, just a little shout out. For Maya, if you enjoy Maya, if you enjoy voluntarianism, if you enjoy all-out weird political talk, then check out The Uncontrollables. Go to theuncontrollables.com and subscribe to Maya's weekly podcast. And it's actually, Gina, you listened for the first time this week, didn't you?
I did.
And could you please put the gun down, Maya? You have a loaded weapon right
that
next
happened.
To her face. If you're... If you're watching our YouTube channel,
there's nothing,
see...
There's not a round chambered. It's all good.
Gina and Maya are on the camera this week. So you listened to The Uncontrollables for the first time.
Oh, yeah. That happened. Thank you. By the way, shout out to me. That was awesome.
And you said... now back to me. And he said, is this podcast always this goodish?
Yes.
I've got a goodish rating.
It was entirely goodish, and I do recommend it. It was an awesome episode. 15,
and our friend 16? Gina Martinez, she just taped her first episode of her new podcast.
We collectively taped the first episode of the new podcast.
Listen to that, Greg.
The
leftist libertarian comes on and uses the word collective.
Oh, gosh. You notice she always says we.
We.
I don't like that.
I know. What are you, Obama?
She's about to drop an F-bomb in your general direction. They make me use a pad to write all my dirty words on.
Because
so
Gina is the
my mouth now.
Only female on the of the host for We Are Libertarians, and she has the foulest mouth of all of us.
Yes, she does.
She really does. So
it's true.
It's quite the turn on.
Oh, Greg. Oh, you.
Oh, Christopher.
He's very high white trash standards.
And Ryan Ripley, contributor to We Are Libertarians, he and I are planning on starting a new podcast critiquing media, and we're thinking about doing our first episode this Saturday. So lots of new podcasts on the Wall Radio Network for you to listen to.
Also, The Obsessive Viewer. I don't know if anyone's listened to it. I just did it's one on movies, entertainment, popular culture. I do with two good friends and listeners of We Are Libertarians, Matt Hurt and Anthony Tiny Ramian. And you can download that at theobsessiveviewer.com.
All right, cool. So you really have no excuse to listen to anything other than anything that we produce. Right, everybody?
Agreed.
Exactly.
If you do... I'm going to make generalized violent threats against you.
Okay. We talk
Mine's
a little...
short. It's like half an hour. You can have your life back.
Yeah, so it's not like an epic...
It's like half an hour of bull, and I'm going to go ahead and write that one down.
Right, yeah,
that's one.
Gina, really? Already?
I made it to 3 minutes
You made
52
it 3 minutes into the podcast. I will say, if you are looking for another podcast to listen to, I've got two suggestions for you. Democracy Now! Is like eating broccoli. It's the broccoli of podcasts. It sometimes can be surprisingly good. Other times it's like just eating broccoli, and it's good for you.
Excellent.
But it's independent media. They've had a lot of great interviews with people on Edward Snowden this week. Very, very I wouldn't say left. It's just independent media that focuses a lot on civil liberties and anti-war issues. So right up our alley, when they get to the economic issues, sometimes they lose me. And then for the first time, I listened to Common Sense with Dan...
Pink?
No, not Dan Pink. Dan Carlin.
Dan Carlin.
And it was really, really good listen. So he's very libertarian-leaning. He's been podcasting since 2005, and I've never listened to it. We have... Geez, where do you even start? I mean, we're not going to get to Syria. We just could not get something arranged for last week's episode, so we couldn't do Syria in a proper way. It's like the Matt Damon of podcast topics.
Hey, we apologize
to Syria this week. We're out of time.
Yep.
Immigration. We're going to talk about immigration. We're going to talk a little bit about Michael Hastings, the Rolling Stone journalist that got killed. And we're going to start with the media, because this has been a banner week for propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever needed a course study in political manipulation of the media and how political language gets perverted, well, we have had a clinical week for you.
Not since
2003 in the lead up to the Iraq War has there been this sort of just perversion of political language. I mean... You know, we're recording this Tuesday, June 25th, 7:43 p.m., and as of right now, Edward Snowden is currently in Moscow. Although, let me ask you guys, read a lot of news.
Yep.
You read the internets quite profusely.
Generally, yes.
The interwebs.
Has anybody in this room seen a picture of Edward Snowden in Moscow?
Nope.
No, I have not.
I honestly have my doubts as well.
I'm not saying I doubt it.
Are you calling Putin a liar?
Yeah.
I will slap you.
Uncle Vladimir?
Uncle Vladimir, who like four episodes ago we were like, I really think this guy could be the next Hitler. Now we're all like, go Putin. I'm watching Russian TV right now.
By the way, the Pirate Party says Snowden is in Iceland.
Really? I'm just saying there has to be a ton of media in Moscow right now. And they can't find him. They haven't snapped a picture of him. You'd think that if he were hanging out...
A cell phone, you know, anything. In today's world...
No, and right. Remember... Russia.
But he's going to drop a cell phone quick, you guys. The thing that he's running from is telling us that he's being... that we're all being tracked by our cell phones.
Someone else taking a picture of him with a phone.
Russia's the most recorded place on the face of the planet.
Yeah, but if you are running from the United States military, I do not think you are going to make yourself... easily accessible to the public.
Maya, we'll call on you in a minute. We didn't give you a mic for a reason.
I don't know where that was.
So, all right. So, Edward Snowden, I just think it's weird that no one has taken a photo. As Maya is screaming in the background, Russia is one of the most photographed places on Earth because everything is so corrupt in Russia that everybody's got a camera. Everybody has a dashboard cam. If you remember when the asteroid or whatever fell to Earth,
yeah.
There was all the dash cam videos of it. It's just awkward. It's just weird to me that no one has snapped a shot. I'm not saying that he's not there. I'm not saying that he is there. I just think it's weird. 30 people boarded a plane for Havana on Sunday because he totally trolled the press.
Awesome.
He totally trolled them. 30 journalists bought a ticket to go to Havana on Sunday. And he didn't end up getting on the flight, and so all they got for the 16-hour flight was a photo of an empty seat. So I thought that was pretty great.
And maybe a crappy mojito on the flight.
He is making it a little awkward on some of us by going to all these former communist countries. You know, it's like, hey, I'm just doing a tour. And, it's just sort of like, he's just going to China. And...
Where else is he going to go? He can't go to one of the allied nations. He's only stuck with the
Axis of Evil.
Exactly. And so we are in the opening exemplifying pretty much everything that's been wrong with the story for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. It is all about Edward Snowden. It has been all about the Kardashianization of this story, and we are basically just
I'm okay with that. I am totally okay with the Kardashianization of this story.
We're basically just talking about where is he? What is he up to? Is he a traitor? Is he not a traitor? We're not talking about any of the allegations that he's made. We're not talking about
the Snowden job,
the things that he has leaked. And I think that's part of my frustration is that the press is not talking about any of the actual allegations. They're just discussing him. Why don't you have a problem with that? It's a distraction.
I do have a problem with the fact that we are not now all wrapped up with one person instead of the issues. But the fact that that issue is getting more or as much press as, say, a Kardashian baby is like a wet dream for somebody who wishes that the rest of the world would catch on board to what we've all been yakking about for decades.
Yeah, but the problem is we're talking about Snowden. We're talking about where is he and if he's a traitor or not. We're not
and
talking
not
about
the
actual programs. The
spying. I get what you're saying, and I can totally appreciate the validity of your point. But to call it the Kardashianization just excites me because I would love to see Snowden get more press than the Kardashians.
Well, he totally has.
I don't know. I think the longer he stays in the press, the more they get a frame how he's viewed. And if you keep saying a lie over and over and over to enough people who don't have a solid opinion, that's where I think we run into trouble.
Yeah, because I have seen it with friends this week. You really are. You're on the Snowden train. He's leaking all of our secrets to China. And I just, finally, I got fed up and I looked at this person and I said, how long have you beaten your wife? Because it's the same exact smear tactic. There's a classic smear tactic in politics where you stand up in front of a press conference and you look at a politician and you say, how long have you beaten your wife, sir? Or they did it to Glenn Beck where Glenn Beck has not murdered a 13-year-old girl. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no evidence Glenn Beck ever murdered
a
13-year-old girl. Yeah.
Yeah, but Glenn Beck has said so much flagrant expletive in his life that he invited that.
No, but
he's
going
to call every broadcast an entertainment and just say the most flagrant shit imaginable, then yes, I'd expect to have people saying flagrant.
So the point is that if he's in China, he is supposedly giving documents to the Chinese. There's zero evidence of him doing that. Senator Dianne Feinstein went on the weekend shows this week, I think it was CBS, and said, we don't know what he took. We have no idea what he has. So if you don't know what he has, how do you know what he's given to other countries? The only thing that we know for sure at this point is that he has chosen three media outlets, the Sunday Morning China Press, and he's talked to them. We don't know that he gave them documents. And he has given documents to the Washington Post and to their reporter and Glenn Greenwald at The Guardian. That's what we know. Those are the facts. And everything else that you see on cable news and in the newspapers is just pure speculation.
Yeah.
And it's exactly like you've said, Greg, all this beating of a drum, you know, oh, he's leaking secrets to the Chinese. And you just have to break that down for a second. And you have to look at the person and you have to say, when did we declare war on the Chinese? When did they become our enemy? You know, what are you talking about? If he gave secrets to the Chinese, they already know all this stuff. They already know we're hacking them and we know they're hacking us.
Yeah. Bill Clinton gave secrets to the Chinese.
Right.
Is he a terrorist?
Right. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just not shocked that our Foreign Intelligence Service is spying on other countries. It's not that big of a revelation. So it's sort of exactly what we pay them to do.
Yeah.
Newsflash, this just in.
Like the CIA.
The CIA is a reserve group. They're right. Only called in when they're needed.
Yeah.
Right, and when do we vote on the CIA? How did those positions get decided?
So, really, this has been my frustration. And so, how much of an effect do you... let me play two clips for you before we move on. Actually, three. One is the David Gregory piece.
Oh.
Interviewing Glenn Greenwald on Meet the Press this Sunday. Now, he is defending himself, saying that I was just asking a question. But if you listen to the tone of his voice... And, you know, I didn't include the part where he follows up and saying, well, some would, you know, maybe I'll go back and add that. But here is David Gregory asking Glenn Greenwald if he should be prosecuted for espionage.
Final question for you, but I'd like you to hang around. I just want to get Pete Williams in here as well. To the extent that you have aided and abetted Snowden, even in his current movements, why shouldn't you, Mr. Greenwald, be charged with a crime?
I think it's pretty extraordinary that anybody who would call themselves a journalist would publicly muse about whether or not other journalists should be charged with felonies. The assumption in your question, David, is completely without evidence, the idea that I've aided and abetted him in any way. The scandal that arose in Washington before our stories began was about the fact that the Obama administration is trying to criminalize investigative journalism by going through the emails and phone records of AP reporters, accusing a Fox News journalist of the theory that you just embraced, being a co-conspirator with felonies for working with sources. If you want to embrace that theory, it means that every investigative journalist in the United States who works with their sources, who receives classified information, is a criminal. And it's precisely those theories and precisely that climate that has become so menacing in the United States. It's why the New Yorker's Jane Mayer said investigative reporting has come to a standstill, her word, as a result of the theories that you just referenced.
That's dangerous in and of itself, and we'll talk about the demonization of the press. Now, here's a couple other clips. As I've been watching the news, especially the last couple days since he's been in Moscow, all these old farts in the media and in politics are pining for the days of the Cold War. Here is the introduction to Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation on
Slay
Sunday.
The Nation.
Slay the Nation, according to Diddle Up, Diddle Up.
I mean, what other weird turn could this thing take? It's like now reports that he's going to other communists, like sort of a tour of communist countries around the world.
All right, so that is Bob Schieffer saying communist like 500 times in the opening. He's gone to these communist countries. Meanwhile, these countries are not communist countries anymore.
No, arguably they never were.
Right.
They were dictatorships.
Right. And then here is last night on Anderson Cooper. I lost it. This is officially when I just had to turn on Big Bang Theory and stop watching this. This is the former LAPD counterterrorism chief saying that he's fleed to the Soviet Union. Here, listen for yourself.
This whole thing is surreal. What do you make of it at this point?
Well, I make of it that it's made up a better story than we would have seen in a book or a movie for all its unlikely characters. And it's near comical twists and turns if it wasn't something regarded so seriously. But I think they are burning up the phone lines from the Department of Justice, from the State Department, from the NSC to Moscow tonight, calling in every chit, every favor, every plea they can make, which is really counterintuitive, Anderson. I mean, what they're saying is hold on to him, don't let him get on a plane, and figure out a way to give him back to us. You know, you have a U.S. intelligence officer with a bag full of top secret material. Probably the last place on earth you would want him as an American intelligence officer is in the Soviet Union. But right now they're saying, let's slow this down and figure out a way to send him back to us without him going somewhere else.
All right. That is John Miller, a senior correspondent for CBS This Morning and the former LAPD counterterrorism chief. It's just they're constructing, out of all these things, they're constructing a narrative. The reporting on these stories now are at a point where everything is this guy, has he broken the law or not broken the law? And why is he consorting with the Soviet Union and the communist countries? How much of an effect do you think that this has on regular people, Greg?
Huge, huge. I mean, it is the same thing that, really, quite frankly, Democrats and Republicans do to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's when a Democrat says that they want to make an amendment to a health care bill. Oh, you're a baby killer. And you just chant it over and over and over. Or a Democrat, when you want to maybe cut a subsidy for farm that would raise the price for milk. Why do you hate poor children and want to rob them of cheap milk? I mean, it's that same thing over and over and over.
Just the villainization of someone other than us.
It's... Right. I mean, we aren't at war with China. I don't remember there being a declaration. People keep saying the word enemy on all these shows repeatedly. But who is the enemy?
The banker. They might be the banker of the United States, but they're not the enemy.
Was it a Ron Paul quote we saw that said that,
yeah,
you know, in order for Snowden to be accused of...
Here,
I'm paraphrasing.
I'll
go
read
ahead.
It,
read
yeah.
the actual
Yeah, it was
quote.
A great tweet.
All right, so here was the quote from Ron Paul. My understanding is that espionage means giving secret or classified information to the enemy. Since Snowden shared information with the American people, his indictment for espionage could reveal or confirm that the U.S. government views you and me as the enemy.
Ouch.
I mean, logic kills
yeah,
you every time.
Right there.
He didn't leak secrets. He could have, made millions of dollars and lived in anonymity for the rest of his life by selling these secrets to the Chinese or the Russians or Al-Qaeda, and maybe his conscience would have been twinged every time he had another servant bring him a mojito in his in his Malibu mansion.
Pool boy.
But he didn't do that. He left his entire life. He left a comfortable life.
A
ballerina fiance to give this information to two well-regarded journalists and newspapers, one British, one American, and gave selective information to selective news sources, which were selectively released. They were not just dumped out like Bradley Manning. There is a difference between what Snowden and Bradley Manning did. And he was very careful on what got released. Now, he has taken the information, he's encrypted several different parts of the information and given it to several different people. So if anything happens to him, not one single person has the entire story. And he's been careful with the information. You know, there was a rumor that his four laptops or three laptops, the media can't figure out which, got drained by the Chinese before he left. But that's not confirmed. Nobody knows that. That's just something you can say, and supposedly it's true. Let's bring in Maya here for a second.
I want to correct you on a mistake slightly, or maybe add something with the Bradley Manning thing.
Okay.
He only dumped everything after he tried to get the government to help him go through and black out names and other events and places. He tried to do the honorable thing, and after the government came out and said no, he says, okay, I'm going to release it. The government's at fault for all the information getting released unedited.
I'm not making a value judgment on what Bradley did was
no,
right
I just
or wrong.
I just want to put that in there that he did.
He wasn't reckless. His you know
he tried his damnedest to do the best job he could, but even the Pentagon came out and said there was nothing damaging that got anybody killed or injured.
Right. That is another thing that has been there's two things in what Maya brought up. There was John Kerry saying that he's going to have he has blood on his hands because someone's going to be murdered because of the information that he released.
Who?
And exactly. And when Bradley Manning did his data dump, they said the exact same thing. And there have been several members of Congress, when pressed recently, have come out and said, we were a little hyperbolic. Nobody was harmed by the releasing of that information. We just were completely wrong. And then you compare what Manning did by releasing all these documents to what Snowden did, which Greenwald has published a lot of confirmations of what everybody already knows.
Yeah.
He is not going out and saying, here's how a program works.
Right.
I mean, John Kerry is just an absolute moron for saying that somebody's going to get killed because of what Bradley Manning or Edward Snowden in this case released. So it's just ridiculous.
I mean, the only people, there's no one that could get killed from it.
Right.
But the only people we're catching with it are the stupid terrorists, like the ones that aren't good at what they do, if that's even who we're going after. I mean, you would have to be moronic
it's
to be caught.
It's the really dumb terrorists who are like, hey, these are the plans.
It's just infuriating.
Do you guys believe the government at this point when they say that 50 terrorist attacks, including 10 domestic attacks, meaning here in the United States, have been thwarted because of PRISM and the FISA information?
I don't believe so, no.
I'm torn, yes and no. Here's why. I came to this weird conclusion today watching the History Channel that, you know, our founding fathers, we all, founding fathers, you know, huzzah.
Watch it. America.
Exactly.
I will come over there.
No, but
I will export some freedom on the Martinez family.
I will take that camera off you.
My God. So, God bless the founding fathers. Praise them. My point was, when they were the founding fathers, they were founding this country. This country hadn't pissed anybody off. At the time,
other than the British.
Yeah. Exactly. Our communication
They had a couple
was
concerns.
Poor.
Maybe the Native
so
Americans, too.
So even though the British armed forces were totally terrifying to especially colonists who had very minimal supplies, the communication barrier, because it took months to get a message from the colonies back to England to let them know that we had stomped their asses and we were
that's all right, just keep going.
Okay, and then
I can't post this video.
She means we stomped their donkeys.
Yes, we had stomped their donkeys and they were
and dumped their tea.
And we were our own independent nation, but my point is that we didn't have enemies at that point. Right. So we could do flagrant things like that and run around and just take care of problems and issues. But since then, we were like, hey, we're the new big dog on the block. We're going to go play nanny all over the world. And we've pissed off the majority of the planet. So, I mean, are there people pissed off with our nation who might have been planning things that they might have actually caught? Yeah. How likely were they to have actually gone to fruition with or without this program? That's debatable.
It's exactly why China and Russia are being absolutely unhelpful in this situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you read the Hong Kong's, you know, Hong Kong, it certainly was influenced by Beijing. Let's not fool ourselves. But if you read the Hong Kong reasoning why they let him go, they let him go on a technicality to wherever he's gone. And it's because, hey, and by the way, USA, we're letting him go, but we want to talk to you about that whole spying thing.
Oops.
Oh, yeah.
We want to know what you're up to. So can you fill us in on that, and then maybe we'll help you get your spy back?
Don't worry. It's just to catch the terrorists.
Right.
We don't have to worry about the Hong Kong government.
Right. And we should talk about cyber terror, and I think we've covered it on a previous episode in the past, but it is the battleground of the future, but I would think that cyber terrorism extends sort of the way, you know, kinetic war extends. If you're interfering and messing with other countries, then they're probably going to mess with you. So one reason I think Russia has been completely unhelpful, if he's in Russia, if he's not, who knows? Because I just find it extraordinary. They don't have a photo of the guy in Moscow. And I've sent it out to our Twitter feed, and nobody has tweeted back a photo yet. One reason that people think that they have not sent Snowden back to the U.S. is because of Victor Boot. Do you guys know anything about Victor Boot, the armed terrorist?
Nope.
Aren't we great little newsies?
Victor Boot was, if you've seen and I wish Creighton were here.
He just sent you a message, by the way.
Did he? Great minds think alike. The Lords of War with Nicolas Cage,
mm-hmm.
Creighton's favorite actor, next to Steven Seagal, was the influence for Lords of War, who was an arms dealer. Here's a little bit about Victor Boot. He's a citizen of Russia that was arrested in Thailand in 2008 before being extradited in 2010 to the United States, and this is all according to Wikipedia, to stand trial on terrorism charges after being forced, after being accused of intending to smuggle arms to the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia to use against U.S. forces. On 2011, he was convicted by a jury in Manhattan Federal Court. Isn't that interesting? A terrorist convicted in the Manhattan Federal Court of conspiracy to kill U.S. citizens. Gee, maybe we could try that with the Gitmo people. deliver anti-aircraft missiles and provide aid to a terrorist organization. So he's Russian, and he was wanted for some things in Russia, because his Wikipedia entry is long. He's basically one of the most famous arm dealers in the history of the world.
He doesn't have a shred of loyalty to anyone, any place, nope. Anything.
He's a member of the Green Party. If you've got green, I'll give you things. And so Russia wanted him back to stand trial in Russia. He is a Russian citizen. And the United States said, no, we're taking precedent. We've got him. And so Thailand extradited him to the United States instead of Russia. And this really pissed off Medved and Putin and the Russian government. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this is a little bit of payback, that even if they had Snowden, even if they know where he is, maybe they're not helping just out of retaliation for that. In addition to the spying for the G8 summit and the program that everybody already knows about.
And it makes them look like the old power they once were. That's what ultimately matters to Russians, is they care very much how they're held in the world authority pyramid. And so the United States is the great evil. We used to be their equal. We're not. And the better it makes look – this makes Putin look big. It really, really does. And that helps him govern.
Yeah. Well, and that threat is throughout all of this. Maybe not China as much, because China is not an enemy. They're global competitors. And Russia is a global competitor, but I would say they're more enemies than China is.
They're more global competitors with Canada.
Right. and Ecuador, reason Ecuador
America.
putting their thumb in the eye of the United States by offering extradition asylum for Snowden and for Assange is because South America doesn't want to get picked on by the United States and the financial system anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy, and I don't know how much credibility he has, but I find what he says to ring true and to be credible. And his name is John Perkins,
mm-hmm.
and he is...
You used to work for the World Bank,
the International Monetary Fund, or the World Bank, or he wrote the book "The Confessions of an Economic Hitman."
Yeah.
And he's got there's several things with John Perkins on.
By the way, you guys are adorable when you finish each other's sentences.
Thank you. We're in love.
We plan to move to Vermont, and we'll have a little breakfast. It'll be wonderful.
I'm really hoping that we are validated and our love is made legal by the Supreme Court tomorrow.
Yes.
me too.
Because I need a government telling me how to live my life.
Hopefully you don't air this before Samantha knows, though.
Samantha doesn't listen to this. What are you turning it away from you and onto me? Nobody wants that.
I want to see you, Spangle.
Oh, okay. There
Chats.
You go.
Continue.
So, it's a two-screener.
Here we go.
So, what was I saying, Greg, before we fell in love?
You were complimenting me on my eyes.
John Perkins. John Perkins has hazelnut eyes, just like Greg. And John Perkins talks a lot about how he would go into these South American countries and Central American countries and destroy their economy. And how the World Bank just sucks the life out of these countries. And that's why somebody like Chavez rises to power. And why this guy in Ecuador rises to power is because they say, we're going to take on the man. We're not going to accept being second-class world citizens anymore, and we're going to stand up to the United States. Bolivia expels McDonald's. They expel all these American countries, companies, and we're going to do our own thing and be independent. And Russia has a bit of touch, a touch of that, too. And frankly, I don't know how much I can really blame those countries if I put myself in their shoes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really... That was a little bit different in the fact that all they did was offer guaranteed loans, and then they knew they would default. So in exchange, they got to set up military installations.
Right.
So I mean, I guess that would. I mean, obviously, if China wanted to set up a military installation in Indianapolis, I would be livid.
Yeah.
Livid.
Right. Yeah, we would totally take that.
Wolverines.
Right. Totally.
No, but for Russia, I just think it's grandstanding. That's what I see it as: a chance to relive the glory days.
Yeah, there's a lot of people doing that, like John Miller and Bob Schieffer with all the communist talk.
When that Bolton is going around putting together a presidential committee and trying to raise money, I guarantee you he will run on some kind of strain similar to... Well, I was there when the Cold War. I remember what the Russians right. were capable of.
Oh, Jesus.
Nobody's going to remember any of this by election, by 2016.
No, but...
Not at all. So I just think... When you watch the news, you've got to watch the selective headlines. You know, there was a headline in the Washington Post yesterday about Ecuador, how, you know, in Snowden's stance, Ecuador plots doom against its own interests because the United States will crush them. You know, it has really exposed the fact that the Washington media, the majority of media, is there to protect a power structure, to protect an elite. And if it's not for independent media pointing out, facts like nobody knows what Snowden has, nobody knows where Snowden is, nobody knows what Snowden has given him, why don't you just wait until he stands trial to prove that he's guilty? He's not a traitor. He has not committed espionage.
No.
He is criminally guilty, in my mind. He's admitted... to committing crimes by breaking his breaking his contract with Booz Allen Hamilton, but it is an espionage.
More than anything, it's a fireable offense. I mean,
right?
This honestly, is a workplace issue.
Honestly, I kind of feel that way. I'm like, this is a workplace issue.
Right?
It's like when Gina committed corporate espionage.
That's an allegation that we're not going to discuss right now.
By the way, my address is
right.
PO Box 844.
Everybody knows Gina don't work corporate.
Yeah. Gina is the least corporate person I know except for James Neese. So if your corporation is, I don't know, illicit drugs and
that's a
Facebook,
filthier, an even filthier obligation.
Facebook memes. That
Facebook
Gina,
memes.
Gina is your corporate stooge.
That's a lie.
By the way, if you'd like to contribute to her re-election campaign, or her election campaign.
The campaign for election, upcoming election. Yes, no. Right now we have a grand total of $24 in Gina Martinez for Indiana's.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's a pledged $20, I should say.
It's IOU on a napkin.
I have it on good authority that my best friend's partner is going to set aside a 20 for me.
See, that's why she comes on here talking the LGBT stuff. That's campaign promises. Oh, she's trying to get donations.
Totally.
That's pandering, right?
Yep.
Right.
Put them in a closet, forget about them for 2 years.
Right.
That's me, yeah.
Why do you got to put them in a closet, Greg?
Real, Greg.
That was a
poor
word
choice. They don't like
closets,
you know that.
That was a terrible word choice.
A white man?
Well, I guess.
Not really.
I'm more Cherokee
you
than anything.
You sound a little Republican.
He totally is a white man. Greg, you look tan this week. What happened? I had 4 charity golf outing events.
Like, not 4.
No brother was going to walk up and say, I had 4 charity outing events this week.
No what?
Nothing.
Write that time. You
wow.
People.
Wow. We're not bleeping that.
Oh, no.
That was flagrant.
It's great when you're being, while you're accusing someone of racism, your own personal racism creeps up to the surface.
I totally stand by the Supreme Court. Any other thoughts on the media and Snowden? And that was basically just me ranting for 35 minutes, but it feels good.
The media has been...
It feels good. It feels good, Spanglebear.
You know what, though? The media has been bad for... I mean...
Since the inception...
Yes.
Sorry, what number are we at?
We're at, like, 39, because I have to bleep something 4 minutes ago.
There is no great place to go to get news. There just isn't. I mean, the AP is about as close as you can get.
To just straight news. Democracy Now! Has been really good in finding independent voices the last couple
weeks. But only on
weeks.
Certain things. Like, you know, there's,
right, yeah.
There's nowhere to just... It's rare to get just facts.
There's only one place. And that is WeLibertarians.com, right, Jim?
Well, you know, I'm not even going to put my neck out there because I know some of the information that I pass along is misinformation that's planted there for me to find and spread like a dumbass. I mean,
what does that even mean?
I'm still not Gina isn't a Democrat. Plant.
You're not on an informational podcast where we are trying to inform and enlighten, and you just said, "Hey, some of the things I say are wrong on purpose." What are you, Bill O'Reilly?
No. And that's
oh,
true.
Oh, so you weren't
purpose.
Calling me and leaving me those awkward drunken voicemails at 2 in the morning?
Hey,
I did not deny or confirm that allegation.
Hey, do you like the loofah?
All right. No, I'm just saying, I know some of the things that I've passed along in the past have been like phony links as far as like social media goes. So I would hesitate to say that every word that comes out of my mouth is a fact and it's based upon some legitimate authority, because how much of what you read on those interwebs can you actually assume is correct?
I saw on a Facebook meme that 98% of the things on the internet is true.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now I feel much more better about it.
It's true because it was on a picture of a duck.
Oh.
Yeah,
so. Was it an honest
duck? The honesty mallard?
Honesty mallard. All right, let's do a couple quick hits before we move on to immigration.
Paul, where shall I hit?
Let's talk. Let's enter into Diversity Corner.
Oh, we're doing this, aren't we?
We're going to go to Diversity Corner, and we're going to talk about Paula Deen and the Supreme Court ruling today. And there's no reason for me to link these two at all, but let's talk about
race.
Talk about Paula Deen. I'm not sticking up for the use of the N word. It's something that I personally do not say.
On air.
No, stop it now. I really just find it abhorrent. And I mean, I'm the guy arguing for changing the Redskins name because I find that offensive.
Because you are so white that you become solid freckle when you burn.
Shut up. Doesn't mean I can't believe in not hurting other people's feelings, Gina.
Excellent. I'm down with not hurting other people's feelings.
If anybody in this studio right now is for...
Studio.
Shut up. Just because it's my couch doesn't mean that it's not a studio.
Welcome to the casting couch, boys.
Just kind of really... I'm just not even posting this YouTube video.
Oh, no.
The things that are happening.
You guys want me to go?
Yeah. The Paula Deen story, I guess I just don't get it. So Paula Deen, in a deposition, which was like 10 years ago, admitted to at some point saying the N-word. which a 66-year-old white lady from Savannah, just not really on my shocked meter. I mean, really, it's registering.
Didn't really
like,
register.
Like, it's hitting a 0.2 on a 10 scale of I can't believe that she said the N-word in the
I past. Can't believe it's not butter! But
thank you. Wow. See, that's why we put Gina on this podcast. That kind of commentary.
Well, and she makes great sandwiches.
Hey now, that's sexist. Do the joke.
God, what was it? I forgot it. Oh, podcast? What kind of kitchen is that?
See, she can say that because she's a woman.
I know.
And I remembered it because I'm blonde.
All right, so back to racism. Now, Gina said the N-word in the past. No, what is this woman's name? Paula Deen. Get on topic, guys. Paula right. Deen.
Jump back on topic.
And then
Paula Deen said racist shit a long time ago.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any reason to lose your show over that. I mean, it's, you know, as long as you're not, like, apparently she's going on the air, she's like, hi y'all, welcome to the, you know, I'm not gonna do it, but it's not like her show was N-word based, you know, like, here, let's mix in, you know, I'm gonna stop before I get myself in trouble. So I just don't get the outrage over that. Now, the whole thing about having a plantation wedding with people dressed up as slaves, like, had you not heard that, Greg?
I didn't know that that was the extent. I thought it was just the wait staff.
She was, yeah, she apparently was a wedding planner or some sort.
Yeah.
And she hired people to play slaves.
It was slaves.
It was to play slaves because it was antebellum South, which is post-Civil War.
Where did you find anybody willing to part with their self-respect for such a low amount of money?
I know at least three people named Maya, James, and possibly Gina that
will look nothing.
Do pretty much anything for money. So I
we
thought
would not
I
fit the profile for that particular act.
I thought that too. Like, really, who? She did pull it off. It did happen. So where did she find the people?
See, there's just no way to me that that's actually, that is factual.
That's acknowledged, yeah, as I understand
it. But it is so.
Who reported this?
Beyond the everybody.
TMZ, who knows?
It's in a deposition, and she admitted to it.
Oh, it's in a deposition.
And someone found it, and now the Butter Queen has been creamed.
Thank you. What are you, Jake
that
Tapper?
That was well done.
Thank you.
Like, it's like I'm watching the NBC Today show now. It's like, oh, back to you, Suzanne. Sounds like the Butter Queen has been creamed.
Now how to have your perfect 4th of July barbecue.
Yeah. All right. And coming up at 11, how that salt is going
fine.
To
be. Bomb you both.
So I thought that too. Like, they're really, this can't be real. This can't
no.
be true. Not a lie. No. Happened like 20 years ago. Definitely not cool.
No.
Not cool. No. It's a registers an 11 on the 10 of the not cool scale.
But I don't know who I'm mad at. I don't know if I'm mad at the people who agreed to do it for money or if I'm mad at her.
Or whomever reported on it and thought it was news.
Why can't you just be mad at both?
I guess I am. I'm just like, wow. Appalled.
But why?
Why?
But, you know, do you
not
think
you,
that...
Why did like, yeah. the situation?
20 years later, the lady really ought to lose her show.
Well, her contract's up. She's not necessarily losing her show, and she's suffered declining ratings for a while, especially with like,
I've
the
got
health
it.
Drive.
I've got it. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Brace yourselves. Own network. Oprah interviews the Butter Queen. They have a big heart-to-heart about the use of the N-word. Everybody creams their panties because it's all fixed and over with. And then Paula
Deen. And because Oprah owns Paula Deen and gives her own show.
Exactly.
Role reversal.
Duh. So I you heard it here first, guys. Wait to see Paula Deen
totally.
Show up on the Oprah network.
I really think that what they do in this situation a lot of times is they fire the person and then they wait like 3 months till it all blows over.
No,
they
no
look
press
good,
is bad press.
And then they hire him back like 3 months later. You mark my words. And I have always thought that Paula Deen is the type of woman, and my wife will vouch for this. If she listened to the show, she'd text in right now and say that this is true. I have always said that as soon as the camera goes off with Paula Deen, she's like, thanks for coming by my house, y'all. Have a good week. I'll see y'all next week. What the f*** are you doing? God f*** it, you stupid asshole. F*** you. I told you to move the boom mic over there. Ass.
Gratuitous ass.
Wow. That was an outburst.
That is exactly what she's like. I know it. And then when this story came out, I was like, I'm right. Only it's racial slurs. So it's not.
I'm right. What were we just talking about? Media getting facts right and not just throwing out allegations.
And I stated, not everything you hear here will be a fact.
If you made it through the first 30 minutes of the podcast, go ahead and skip this part.
Well done. Well done. Congratulate yourselves.
So, all right. So, Paula Deen, what's your final ruling? Hero? Greg? No. Is that what you were going to say? I can see it in your eyes.
Oh, man. Oh, Spangle. No, not a hero. You know what?
Traitor?
Hope you know what? She better not back down now. No, it is what it is. It's stupid.
It's a ridiculous story.
It's, yeah.
Gina.
Nice use of ridiculous. I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, Oprah. That's my final prediction. It is tragic that a lady who worked very hard during the last decade or so has lost her empire. It's also very tragic that the same lady decided to be a racist twat at some point in the past.
I'll write that down.
Twat is not a...
It totally is.
No, it is not. No. It's British.
Exactly.
Like totally. Tallywhacker or Bloody or, you know, all those good things.
All those things. Wanker. Fact me up, Greg. We're leaving twat.
No, we're not, because I edit the show and you
don't.
Oh,
but I'm not writing him down. Find him.
Crap.
That means he has to listen to this crap.
But yeah, no, the final answer is I look to see her on Oprah. The two of them will have a heart-to-heart. So then it's like ratings for both of them. Are you kidding? Could you imagine the ratings for
I have so many things I just want to say right there, and I just, gosh.
On to the next story. Like, I kind of get the Paula Deen outrage because it is a pretty outrageous story.
It's ugly.
I don't really get the outrage over today's Supreme Court ruling.
Well, whom else are they going to throw under the bus to get these things out of the news? Hey, by the way, we're spying on you and taking away your entire Bill of Rights.
Here's an immigration
bill. Paula Deen's a racist.
No, like, it is so true. Like, the NSA thing comes out immediately. Like, then 2 days later, Obama signs a bill, like, with dealing with abortion. It's like the social conservatives did not get on that. They did not grab onto that red meat. I haven't seen one action alert email on it. Then the next thing was the immigration bill. That's in the news, but it's still, in my opinion, not as hot as Snowden and all that. It's the second or third story. Then you've got climate change is coming down the pike.
Yeah. Well, no, it isn't.
It's something that he keeps talking about and they keep signaling it.
Yeah, but
that he's going to talk
John
about
John Boehner, Speaker of the House. It's not going
I think anywhere. Something was mentioned about it today. I think I saw something.
Oh, no, he's going to make a big push.
It was the Keystone.
He can push a lot of things. It ain't going to happen.
The Keystone Pipeline, he said he'd consider the Keystone Pipeline if it had certain amount of like carbon neutral, I don't know, some BS to
offsets,
basically kill it.
Out of the Al Gore personal fund.
Yeah. And he... Al Gore needs another $1 billion.
So. And Al, I'd like to thank you for inventing the internet so we can do this podcast.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Hey.
Now,
give the man his props.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so today the Supreme Court ruled that Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act they didn't declare it invalid. What they said is, and let me explain it, in the Voting Rights Act there is certain districts, and they have drawn certain districts, and they've said in the Voting Rights Act of 64 that these are basically racist counties, right. And that if they want
to... They have
to,
a history of,
yeah,
of abuse.
Yeah, they have a little history with, you know, literacy tests and lynchings and just...
Burning crosses
burning
in the
crosses
woods.
Burning crosses and, you know, people being murdered for trying to exercise their civil rights. Now... We're going to implement a district, so anytime any of these counties and these states, read southern states, want to change anything about their voting laws, they have to get it cleared through the Department of Justice or a special panel of people in Washington, D.C. So what the Supreme Court, led by Justice Robert, ruled today is that that portion is not valid. And essentially the way that it can be read is that it's still valid, it's just that you need to redraw it. Because you're unfairly impacting states that have radically changed from 1964 to 2013. And so it's unfair
to... radical's kind of a stretch. But
no, it's not a stretch.
There aren't lynchings going on in Alabama anymore.
There are certainly issues...
Come on.
There's certainly issues with voting. But this is the whole We'll get to you in a second.
Easy on my kin there, Gina.
I'm the only one with a southern... Bama. My name's Greg, and I'm the one with the southern accent on this podcast. So what are you talking about?
I'll be the token
states' rights.
So I'm going to talk about states' rights no matter what. So, and it is really
the
about
South
states' rights.
Shall rise again.
I do say, they came down with the war of northern aggression. So... They just basically said redraw the maps on basic new data, okay? The census data you're using is from 1964. The literacy tests are no longer in place. Things have progressed to a place where there may be problems in other areas of the country, not just this one area of the country. So let's take a look at it. Let's reevaluate it. And I don't really see the problem with that at all. But the president is all up in arms. Eric Holder's saying it's the worst thing in the world. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton are having a field day that they've gutted all this. The liberals are going crazy. And I just don't get the outrage. Gina, as our liberal correspondent, can you please explain the outrage to me? I didn't think so.
I can. I mean, I don't understand the outrage necessarily, but as I understand it, it's a very important bill because we want voter fairness. Mm-hmm. And I can fairness understand I can understand fairness. Where the Supreme
Could you please
Court
define that?
No. I can understand where the Supreme Court... Google it. The Supreme Court has valid points because it is an outdated law, and it's, you know, it's not even beneficial to say, you know, Green, Boone, and Elliott counties are all need to line up because you're going to go to the neighboring counties and do the same abuses there. Like, you're just going to work your way around it. You're going to work you're going to jerry-rig your way out of it. It always happens. Or gerrymander. Gerry-rigging is an entirely different
same
activity. Diff. Yeah. So anyway, I can see both points being valid. I can see a little bit of the outrage because we need to protect the bill itself, and I can see the outrage because it needs to be updated, because in the event that that law was passed in 64, you know, in the 50 years that have passed since then, we found a way to continue with the same abuses and make
Do
that-
we need... I mean, does it need to be updated? I mean, honestly...
Do you feel, Gina Martinez, that we have progressed so far from 1964
no.
and the civil rights era to 2013?
No. Uh-uh.
Why not?
Because. Go.
Okay, black president, go.
Oh,
Boom.
Really?
Yeah.
One black guy, woo!
One black guy.
39 white guys.
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain.
When was that?
Last year.
Yeah, last year.
Alan Keyes. That's not really fair. We shouldn't use Alan Keyes. He never had a chance. I'm just saying, I just think it's liberal stupidity to sit here and say that things are never going to be perfect, but it's not like there is massive disenfranchisement going on across the nation.
But do you know that? Because I don't. I certainly don't. There very well could be massive disenfranchising. I mean, obviously there was such an issue that we had to...
You can't just say that. Like,
it had to be codified in 1964 for a reason. We didn't just, like, decide.
You can't just say, like, well, do you know that? I don't know that. So, it must not, like...
Are you sure Bigfoot doesn't exist?
Provide
You can't tell me
facts.
Certainly that he doesn't exist.
Can you say with 100% certainty that the Loch Ness Monster does not
Do you
roam
see
the
what
lakes?
I have to deal with?
Logic and
Do
facts.
You
I know. Damn it.
I know.
Where's the logic and the facts? Well, you can't say that there's a problem. We just tried to fix it, and so the problem
so you're saying,
probably
so
doesn't exist.
Define for us the problem.
The problem is voter disenfranchisement.
By
Where?
Via what?
What was the original
ID
issue?
ID cards?
I'm not familiar with
is
this
Is that
particular...
overarching?
What was the original issue? Oh, I don't know. 1964 Voting Rights Act. All right.
Okay, so 1964 Voting Rights Act.
It was needed then.
I doubt that it was an
that.
RFID issue. 100%. I'm going to go ahead and
No,
go
I concede 100%
say,
then.
Okay, well, then to say that the problem has dissolved because 50 years of has passed, I believe would be naive and perhaps lacking in certain things like facts and common sense and logic.
By what extent? So you're saying that there are, one, the assumption is that it would be GOP, they would be trying to disenfranchise
minorities. Well,
we always
assume that because it's the white guy who tries to keep everybody else down, and the GOP is so white it hurts.
Oh, and old. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'll be the first one to say it.
Okay.
But I'm saying where is it? I mean, where is it?
Guess.
Is it by asking for a voter ID card? Is it for a driver's license so that I can't go in and say that I am Gina Martinez and I intend to vote for Rick Santorum in the Republican primary?
I think a would lot of the
I can
time,
definitely do that for you.
I would hurt you.
I know. Would you want me to have an ID card if I did that?
No.
Gina McLovin.
I think it has a lot to do with, I mean, obviously to us, we take having an ID card for granted because it's something that we did at 16 so that we could jump in our cars legally and race off. But at the same time, if we hadn't done that, should we still be entitled to vote? Yes. And so in the there are a lot of people that are not in our generation. I know that sometimes our egos tend to be like all encompassing, but there are still 80-year-old people out there that like to vote. They really like to vote. It's the only thing they do. They look so forward to it that they set their bowel movements to voting. Like that happens.
So out of the 364 days of the year remaining, they can't find one day where they're having a good day to go get an ID card.
Well, if they were born in 1902 and they don't have the appropriate materials.
The Indiana Secretary of State's office has driven and picked people up to go get IDs. There has never been one
case.
But
has the Alabama something or other department gone around?
You're talking about
people.
Voter IDs, and here in Indiana, voter ID was the
but
first
we're talking
voter ID.
About
Hold on,
the
let me finish.
Now, in the courts!
Now, the first voter ID law
passed
was here in Indiana.
Okay.
Okay? No Hoosier citizen has ever brought up an instance where they have not been able to vote at all because of a voter ID issue. Now, there have been people who may have forgotten their IDs on election day, so they cast a provisional ballot. It sucks.
But no one's complained of it, right?
It's not one complaint. Not one official complaint has ever been filed. Not one. And we've had it since 2006, 2007?
Maybe.
06, 08. I think 08 was the first election we had
so
it.
Do I.
And people, when they go in and they forget their ID, they have to cast a provisional ballot. Then they go within 7 days to the clerk's office. Then they show their ID, and then they get to vote. No person has ever been disenfranchised. Well, I would say, I can't say definitively that no one person, because you just can't.
No,
but there
you
has
can't.
Not been an official complaint brought against this law at all. And believe me, the Democrats in Indiana have tried. They have tried. They tried to cram nine nuns.
Oh, lightning. Holy lightning.
We have compressors and we have specific mics to not pick things up, but I wonder if people can hear that thunder because it was like right outside the window.
Yeah. So, we made God mad, apparently.
Yeah, so, all right.
It's all Gina's fault.
I'm just saying.
Oops.
All right, let's move on to, do we want to do Hastings first?
We can.
That's very interesting.
Or do
I
we
like want to
do immigration first?
Speaking of things we have no facts about, but think might be true.
Yes, but it is very interesting.
She just thinks that things aren't any better, or mostly not better.
That's the typical. That's the liberal position.
Not to go all.
Selma was
I'm
yesterday.
Just saying we can't say that it's been fixed because enough time has passed. It's not a thing.
Nothing with human beings and government will ever be perfect. Ever.
But
ever, ever.
But
ever.
Nothing with human beings or government will ever fix itself with the passage of time. Time does not heal all wounds. People picking themselves up and dusting themselves off. It's action that heals problems.
Like
you can't just sit around and wait.
You're like the liberal Sarah Palin.
She really
so
is.
So many people think that all the old people are going to die off and there went racism, but that's a sack of bullshit and we all know it because everybody knows a racist under the age of 30 who's still going to be here in 50 years, so waiting for him to die off is foolish.
Some of them are wearing yellow hats.
That's a dirty allegation. Okay, so what were we going to talk about? Right. Michael Hastings?
Michael Hastings.
Just to be clear, I'm a gay racist that's in love with you and wants to open a maple syrup and bed and breakfast factory in Vermont.
In case anybody ever has any illusions of employing you in
I
the
have
future.
Serious psychological issues,
Listen,
apparently.
Listen, here's the thing with this podcast.
All right.
We have no filter. No. All right, so we say things that
I have to filter, though, or I have to write shit down. Sorry.
We don't have beliefs. We don't betray our beliefs ever. We speak our mind, but we make jokes.
Sometimes
those jokes may offend and hurt some people. And for that, we apologize. We
a little
truly
bit.
Did
not to the target, to if the audience is offended.
Right.
Okay.
If you are offended by our words, then we apologize.
Go hang out with Melissa Harris Perry and enjoy some
now,
Parcheesi and board games.
I'm trying
why
to do an official apology.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, Greg is not gay, nor is he black, nor
well,
is
I might
he racist.
Be. I don't know.
Well,
what? All right.
I'm trying to help you out, brother.
I mean, the day's young.
All right.
Only Edward Snowden truly knows.
All right. So Michael Hastings, the Rolling Stone journalist, died this week.
Yes.
Give us the details, Gina.
As I understand, he died in a car accident after sending emails to his colleagues just hours prior to. So the bit that I read, and I can't quote exactly where I found this, said that close friends and associates of his were being interviewed, according to the emails that he sent, by the FBI. And he was going to go off the radar for a bit. He was 33 years old, and he mentioned that he was on to a big story. This was just prior to the Snowden things coming out. According to KTLA, that publishes a copy of the email that Hastings sent around 1 p.m. on June 17th, and he died at 4:30 a.m. Tuesday morning. In a fiery one-vehicle crash, the cop who investigated it... anyway, it's irrelevant who provided the email.
Forget those facts.
Forget those facts.
I know I've been preaching to you about facts, but forget that.
Yeah, I know.
Trust me. Trust me.
So
I'm not spying on you.
Essentially, he sent out emails to his colleagues saying that he felt like he was being followed. He felt like the FBI was onto him. He needed to lay low. He needed to be off the radar. He had he noted the NSA in his emails. The feds are interviewing his close friends and associates, and if they come to the office, it would be wise to immediately request legal counsel before any conversations or interviews regarding our news gathering practices or related journalism issues.
So essentially, he was working on a big story.
Yes.
That was national security related. Now, he is the guy who brought down General McChrystal.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a piece in Rolling Stone about General McChrystal, who has been dubbed like the greatest war commander in the history of modern warfare. And he was the commander, the great savior for Obama in Afghanistan, who was going to go in and make it better and then manage the drawdown. And he did start to bring some peace and did seem to be effective, but he was quoted in this Rolling Stone piece by this journalist. I forget what the quote was, but he was making fun of Obama or disrespecting him as commander-in-chief, and you just can't do that. You can't be, you know, the top general in the field and say that the commander-in-chief doesn't know what he's doing and he's a buffoon.
Because having enough confidence in yourself to, you know, brush off comments isn't something we look for in leaders.
Right. So he made a name for himself for that, and he is an investigative journalist. Now, an eyewitness saw the car. He was driving down the road, and this car, it was a white Mercedes, white BMW, was a nice car, just barreled by, like, really, really, really fast. I forget how he phrased it, but it was going insanely fast through red lights. No regard for anyone else on the road, and then he just saw a big ball of fire, and he had hit a telephone pole or something else that was stationary, like a telephone or electric pole, and the car blew up. And it was such a bad fire that they couldn't identify the remains. I think they had to use dental records to identify who this was. That's how bad the crash was. So, I mean, are there other facts that I'm missing?
You actually got more of the facts than I had.
It's funny how all you had to do was report the facts right there, and it just reeks of conspiracy.
I know. It's terrifying, isn't it?
It really does.
I don't know. I mean,
we can't sit here and imply, you know, because we weren't there. We don't know. And to be honest with you, I'm going to go ahead and put out a defense for... against the conspiracy, and that is,
which is surprising because Gina is probably a little more conspiracy minded than Greg and I are.
That's a fact. But the only the first defense that I can come up with is, as someone who is so conspiracy driven, I've been to the point where I've been spooked, and I know that paranoia can get really strong at times. And so if he was terrified that he was being followed and somebody was on his ass, I could see him just hauling through town.
Right.
And but at the same time, it just reeks of conspiracy,
maybe,
guys.
Maybe your accelerator's stuck. Maybe your brakes are not working.
And maybe your car's really new and somebody can...
There was a really interesting article.
Control drone.
This is what I was actually thinking. As soon as I saw that story, you posted it in chat last night.
Yeah.
And this morning on Business Insider, the first article I saw was how easy it is to to hack a car.
So there you go.
That was the lead of the article. And I was like, why is that the first thing on Business
Which is
Insider?
Why I will always drive a 1982 Grand Prix. It will just always happen.
I do
try
think,
to hack my Nova, bitch.
I do think it is interesting that, you know, the conspiracy that is going on is not on Alex Jones and Newsmax and not even Newsmax. That's not fair. WorldNet Daily is what I meant. You know, WorldNet Daily with the birther stuff and some of your more conspiratorial sites that'll even flirt with. Even Drudge will flirt with a good conspiracy every once in a while.
You think so?
Yeah. He'll post prisonplanet.com every once in a while. He'll post a little InfoWars action.
He will. It'll be one like quip though.
It won't be the whole article.
Quarter,
you know, yeah. He'll post something that is a little, you know, Alex Jones tinged.
He posted John Edwards in the Inquirer. That's serious guts for doing that.
But this is like the Business Insider, it's the Atlantic. I mean, these are respect.
Oh, it's Wall Street focused.
Wall Street Journal. Yeah. I mean, there are legitimate news outlets that, you know, my opinion are legitimate, that are flirting with the conspiracy that maybe something is afoot here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of telling.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to deny, I think is the more obvious thing. I mean, to be honest with you, we've got some brass cojones sitting here recording a podcast, just openly speaking our opinions.
Nah, we're not that big yet.
No.
One day, to the top.
Believe me, they're aware.
Oh, yeah. I know that. Didn't Daryl Issa follow us on Twitter this week?
Daryl Issa followed us. We have four congressmen following us on Twitter.
And it
doesn't help that I put
welcome Congress people
every single NSA keyword I could find two podcasts
ago. Yes,
like in
Believe
the description,
me, they're on to us.
Like in every single search engine possible, YouTube, iTunes. I put every single keyword.
You used your full SEO abilities in order to make sure we showed up on the NSA's.
Are these all meta tags?
Yeah.
Have I ever told you guys about the time that my neighbor was investigated by the Secret Service?
Yes.
You know the story?
I don't. Actually, I have a secret security clearance, and my neighbors weren't bothered.
Really?
Not that I know of.
Who gave you a secret service clearance?
Another thing we won't discuss.
See, she was a Democrat in another life. She has special privileges.
Oh, that's right. She went to the White House.
She went to the White House. She corrected David Plouffe.
I did.
The worst marketer in the history of mankind.
What were you doing at the White House that you got security clearance?
It was completely unrelated.
Listening to your phone calls?
Completely unrelated. No, the White House trip came 7 years after the secret security clearance.
Mm.
So I'll make it quick.
That's a lie.
Just for anybody. Shut up. Anybody listening. My next door neighbor comes up to me shaking one day and he said, I'm really nervous to say this to you. I'm really sorry. What are you sorry for, man? I got investigated by the Secret Service and the FBI the last week. They came in. They took all of my computers. They took all of my guns.
No joke.
And I said, what did you do? He said, I sent an email to my sister in Virginia who doesn't like me. And I said, somebody should take this guy out, meaning the president. And she forwarded it to the FBI, so they came out and investigated us.
No way.
Okay, cool. But why are you apologizing to me? I just started at the Libertarian Party of Indiana as the executive director. And he goes, they asked me if I knew anybody who was planning to overthrow the government. And I said, well, I know this kid who works at this one place. And I gave him your name. So I don't know if they're investigating you.
We're real sorry, Spangle. I think I just told the FBI you might be a treasonous terrorist pig.
So I'm totally going to get my FBI file and see if it's in there.
If there is, you know it's in there without question. If there is any doubt of your patriotic fervor, all you need to do is bring up Canada, and then you'll say, yep, he's one of us.
I'm moving towards Maya every day, and more of these weeks help. But you bring up Canada.
All of a sudden,
I'm the most jingoistic nationalist.
The stars and bars show up, baby.
So, all right. Michael Hastings, do you think that it was an accidental death, or do you think that there is more to the story, be it government, non-government? What say you, Greg Lenz?
Right now, I'm uncommitted. I want to find out the eyewitness. I want to know about him. I want to know his background. I want to know who he is, where he works, who he's involved with.
Exactly where on the grassy knoll he was standing.
No, I just want to know who he is. You know, like that's the thing that's always forgotten. It says eyewitness report, and then all they do is focus on the person that died.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, but eyewitness can mean absolutely anyone, you know.
And there were several eyewitnesses that saw.
There were.
Yeah. Gina?
You know, I'm on the fence myself. It alarms me. I'm concerned about it. Don't take this the wrong way, it kind of reeks of Lady Di. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, really? High-speed one-car crash? Go figure.
I'm going to say that it is like when people saw Satan in the face of the Twin Towers smoke. It's just one of those things that the brain, because of the NSA and the paranoia that has been unleashed in the American people because of the NSA spying, that we are seeing something that does not exist. I'm saying that the poor guy was driving recklessly and paid the consequence. So,
and it very well could be, and most likely probably is, but yeah. I think the way things have developed lately in the news,
it would
are very naive to at least not lend an ear to the story.
I think if you go back and you listen to Snowden's words in that interview that he did in Hong Kong, the 12-minute video, I mean, Snowden outlines how they take care of people. Mm-hmm. Like, he is saying it in a veiled way, but I think he chose his words very carefully. And he spoke to a documentarian who was very sympathetic, who would craft his words. When I go in and edit this podcast, I could edit all that out to make myself sound smooth, but I'm not going to because I'm lazy. But
because that involves work,
right? So I could have edited out that stutter, but I didn't. But there are times where I edit this podcast, and I edit it. I'll edit 15 minutes out just to make us quicker, smarter, better. You know, a little more sympathetic to ourselves, and a documentarian could do that. Now, so when he just chooses his words to say, you know, I could be, they could use rendition, they could have a Chinese squad come and hit me, they could have a Russian squad come and hit me, they could have me kidnapped, I think he's telling you exactly what he knows, how the U.S. government takes care of people. He just knows that if he says it outright, he'll be painted as a conspiracy theorist, so he just does it in a veiled way.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility that maybe they're getting a little aggressive with journalists, but I doubt it. I just don't think we're
at that
point
yet. But wait
a minute.
We know that they're getting aggressive with journalists. We know for a fact that they've come down on journalists, and we know that this particular journalist has a history of breaking big stories. So and we know that they're tapping into everyone's phone, so we know that they're tapping into his phone. I mean, it's not far-fetched that they knew exactly what he was sending and that he was being pursued. It's just whether or not they actually pulled the trigger to send him into the column or whatever fiery death of...
I'm not saying that it is not in the capabilities of the United States government in some capacity, whether it's CIA, FBI, you know, Secret Service, who knows?
How do we know that
the capacity
isn't
to be doubted?
The capacity is there. I'm saying that it is just highly unlikely that he was murdered by our government or by really anybody else. I'm just saying that it is just a coincidence.
Honestly, though, is there any difference? Let's say he breaks a major story. Let's say he breaks a major story
there
that the apparatus is enormous. Is there a huge difference if it threatens the government and brings it to its knees? Is there a huge difference between that and what Anwar al-Awlaki did to the United States government by committing treason? Is there much of one?
And give our listeners a little bit of al-Awlaki.
al-Awlaki was a Colorado State professor, American citizen, a staunch follower of Islam. And
sort of took over al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda for bin Laden and was operating out of Yemen. His 16-year-old American son was over there visiting him, and we authorized a drone strike and killed both of them and several others. And they had committed treason against the United States, in the government's opinion, by waging war. Mm-hmm. Now, does a government institution view that as any different than a massive threat by exposing a secret that would, one, question their validity, and two, it's self-preservation for government.
Let's just say that I think it's been floated. I mean, by like Senator Mike Lee has floated this theory through his ebook and through several media channels that Roberts changed his opinion on Obamacare.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say you had evidence that that several congressmen and Justice Roberts and some senators have been blackmailed because of information, because of PRISM, and because of the NSA. That is something that could bring down all the programs. It could lead to mass impeachments. I mean, it could bring the United States government as we know it. It would kill Obamacare. it'd be an enormous story. Would they kill over that? I don't think so. I mean, I think there is a difference.
You think that is less of a threat than a bunch of guys in the desert riding camels on dial-up? I mean...
I don't know. I just feel like there is a difference. That is a... I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, where's your facts and common sense now?
I mean, to me, I think you know I would... Governments are broken from the inside.
I said black president, and you had nothing, so you lose.
Your argument is invalid.
Governments rarely fall from the outside. Mm-hmm. Very rarely happens. It happens from the inside. And so if I am in the government, and I'm not an elected politician, but I am a bureaucrat, I am a person like in the past, a J. Edgar Hoover, I do everything in my power to ensure that it's self-preservation from that perspective. And so if you have something that would literally even bring down the constitutionality of every law passed since that program's implementation, whoa. Mm-hmm. Huge game changer. Now, the question is, would the American people even care? I don't know if they would, but...
Oh, they'd care. You come out and
say... What if Northwest was a twin?
Shut up.
Then...
How dare you bring up Kanye West, baby.
Why are we doing this?
I'm a fan.
Sorry.
Kim Kardashian, you're okay in my book, but Kanye West, you're just a step below Beaver.
Racist.
Stop it.
Yeah, anybody that's anti-Beaver is total racist.
So, I don't know. That's a thoughtful question, Greg. I don't know.
I know. You don't want to ever think that.
I don't want
to
think that.
And I especially have a staunch anti-conspiracy bend, but I swear to you, it is like there's this consistent, slow trickle of a narrative that is being let out over time. And the woman at CBS, which no one even hardly covered,
Cheryl
her computer
Jackson.
Turned yeah. on and off when she was investigating the Benghazi scandal.
I didn't hear about
all this. Right, I got challenged I got challenged by our beloved listener Samantha, whom we love, who is a dedicated listener to all the podcasts that we produce, even Maya's. I don't know why. Cheryl Atkinson is an investigative journalist, again, mm-hmm. like Michael, like Greenwald, who was looking into Fast and Furious, was looking into Benghazi. And in the middle of the Benghazi story, several times her work and her personal computer would turn on, and then it would turn off. And, you know, she's
My
not...
My phone does that, and it disturbs me.
Yeah, but... Okay. You're Gina Martinez.
Right.
She's Cheryl Atkinson.
You're not on...
investigative journalist.
National TV.
Right, I don't have cronies that, like, made a tag all the... trigger words into the podcast that I play
that
with.
That's true. I really need to stop taking my iPad in the bathroom. Sorry, I'm just getting sidetracked thinking about other things. So, all right, so Cheryl Atkinson is an investigative journalist, and we know that with the AP, they
got hacked.
They got hacked.
Dan Rosen.
By the government. James Rosen at Fox News.
James Rosen.
He's different than the AP. The AP was hacked to find out what they knew and to see who their sources were. Cheryl Atkinson is very much the same thing. They supposedly, meaning the government, she says she knows who it is, were looking into her files, her work files. Now, Samantha said, well, her computer turned on and it turned off. Big whoop.
And no, I said, files had been changed. Timestamps had been changed.
Right. And I'm saying that things had been changed. The computer, yes, your computer can turn on and off, but two separate computers, multiple times, across a long time period.
In the middle of this.
In the middle of these scandals, an investigative journalist, we know about the AP. Secondly, as much as we rag on the news, CBS is... You know, this woman has a career. She's a respected journalist. She looked into it herself. She felt like there was compelling evidence, so she went with her counsel to CBS's counsel and said, I think that I'm being hacked by someone, and I need you to take a look into it. They hired investigators to do forensics on her computers. They found that there was definitely some sort of hacking into the systems, and that the hacking was not just some Trojan...
No.
From a Chinese or Russian hacker, and it was just a little keylogger, in the system. This is something very complex, much greater than...
That could hide itself.
That could hide itself, essentially. It's not just your teenager joyriding, you know, turning on your computer like most Trojan. So CBS is now making inquiries to the United States government trying to find out exactly what's going on. This woman essentially risks her career by going public with this to Bill O'Reilly and saying, this is happening to me. I don't know who it is. Or she's saying, I know who it is, but I can't say it publicly because I can't make the allegation. It's an ongoing investigation. I think it's dangerous to be an investigative reporter anymore. And it's...
That's a sad state of affairs.
Right. So mm-hmm. I don't think that her life is in danger, but I mean, it's certainly her privacy is in danger.
Oh, certainly. And we don't know. You can't rule out her life isn't
exactly.
in danger.
Exactly. You cannot.
We're not saying it is. We're saying it's impossible to rule it out at this moment.
There's not enough information.
So that happens to her. Well, then there's Prism, right?
Right.
Then there's all the... Conveniently, none of the companies that are involved in Prism can reveal that they are involved in Prism. They have to all deny it. And right. then you have Hastings. You have more Greenwald things, I'm sure, are on the horizon. One,
the G8 summit where they basically
set up
the UK government and the US government set up dummy phone booths and internet cafes and spied on all the diplomats going to and from their home countries. I mean, they set up these systems to spy on diplomats. I mean,
ouch.
How outrageous. What?
It's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, that's the thing, is how can you rule right now, even if you are a factual person, you can't rule anything out.
I don't know. I just...
Absolutely. You'd be naive to rule everything
out. You would.
Well, let's just move on.
Yeah.
I don't know. So
we're treading on dangerous territory, so it's best to move on.
I guess you've got to evaluate everything. Immigration. Let's talk about immigration. Let's keep it short because we're, you know, probably an hour and 15.
I will tell you what. I will let you two pasty white boys discuss immigration without my khaki ass because I have to pee.
Okay.
And that should make it short and sweet. But I'll come back and give my two final cents.
All right. We need you, Martinez.
All right. I'm headed towards the border for this conversation. Enjoy.
All right, give us the facts.
Don't worry, because if you stay here 10 years, you'll be able to stay forever.
And can I vote, too?
Well, if you get a card.
No. I'm having your rights disenfranchised.
I'll drive you to get your card.
Stop.
In your Nova.
All right, so give us the facts on the immigration deal.
All right, so the Gang of Eight was putting together a deal on immigration. It was starting to fall apart, so as what typically happens in the Senate, it became a who's getting what goodies for what support. So the one that has right now what we know is this, is that if you're here, you're what's called an unauthorized citizen, or, well, technically an unauthorized immigrant. You will be allowed to stay in the United States as long as you register with the government. You submit to a background check, you'll pay a fine, back taxes, and you'll settle your debt to society. Then it'll give anyone who has that unauthorized immigrant status, you'll have probationary legal status, which allows you to live here and work here in the United States legally. And then there is a path to citizenship. Granted, you do certain things. You take civics history courses and pass the test, that sort of thing. Now, if you have a serious criminal background or you are deemed to pose a threat to national security, you're subject to deportation and you will not be allowed to stay here. So it's relatively innocuous. But as always, there are some awful, awful loopholes in the bill. For instance, the big thing is now big labor wasn't going to get on board with this. The AFL-CIO was dead set against this because they thought it was going to drive down wages in certain industries. So as part of the bill, the agreement has resolved that the pay level of low-skilled immigrants often employed at hotels and restaurants or on construction projects or who could be brought in during labor shortages have to be paid the median wage. So it creates artificially high wages. On top of that, it looks like it's not going to do really anything to stop illegal immigration. It might limit it a bit. But it's just packed full of goodies for several different senators, and it's your Christmas list,
sure.
for instance.
And it gets better and better for those goodies
the longer
the process goes out. Then they go to reconciliation, mm-hmm. and I think this issue, it's a, like a lot of issues, okay? It's like the healthcare debate. It's like any big issue that we tackle in Congress and on these national discussions. Like, immigration is important, and it is an issue that I certainly have an opinion on. You know, I have never seen anything wrong with, you know, Bush's original plan in 2006, okay? I you know, I'm not crazy about letting a lot of people into a system where we have a lot of welfare and a lot of social safety nets, but by and large, immigrants have the highest percentage of new business starts. They're entrepreneurs. So even when, you know, this argument that every immigrant comes here to get welfare is baloney, because typically they're the ones who create the jobs for the lower class.
The real kicker on this thing is that if you're an unauthorized immigrant, you are exempt and treated as if you are not here from Obamacare, and so the employer is exempt from adding you.
Did you see what I just updated your Facebook status with?
You dick. Yes, I did.
You shouldn't have left your Facebook out while you went to the bathroom.
And apparently I like it, too.
I did. You liked your own status where you wrote that you think PBJs are racist, which we'll get into later. So immigration, you know, it also, when you flood the market, it's not like the market isn't already flooded. When you flood the market with legal, unskilled labor, you lower the wages for generally
everyone. When you increase supply, you know, you lower price point.
Right.
Always happens.
But this is clearly something, because the federal government is in charge of it, they broke it, and we need a fix. But the problem is that the fix is created by Congress, and it's packed full of goodies. It's being rushed to get passed by July 4th, which I don't know why this is such a pressing issue that we must pass it by July 4th. These guys are given, you know, a couple weeks to read 1,200 pages of bills, which I don't understand
at all.
They
don't read bills, Spangle. That's not what we pay them to do.
How naive am I?
Well, they only get 3 days, right?
Yeah.
They're only going to get 72 hours to read this thing.
A lot of the Gang of Eight, to be clear and to be fair, a lot of the Gang of Eight
we call them the Crazy Eights.
The intact. That's certainly what Glenn Beck calls them. He's outraged. He had strong words for Jeff Flake.
To quote a meme I saw on Bill...
I said it just for her.
I know.
I wanted to get this out the whole show.
On Bill Browning's page, it was the only Beck, or sorry, Glenn, the only Beck I listen to has two turntables and a microphone.
She's so proud of herself.
Because I can almost deliver somebody else's joke.
he rightly called out Jeff Flake. We need to talk about Jeff Flake at some point, because he was a great Justin Amash-like character when he went to the, you know, when he was a representative, and then all of a sudden he gets to the Senate, and they're like...
He's the responsible statesman.
He's turned into, you know, Cornyn or Dan Coats. Yeah. You know, it's no. So.
Okay. Washington insider.
There's something wrong right. with that.
Yeah. So, I'm not against changing our immigration policy whatsoever. I'm just against Washington doing it.
Right. I mean, honestly, like, the greatest deterrent you could ever have is just reveal what the NSA program actually entails. Why would you want to come here?
Right.
I, honestly,
it
hey,
doesn't matter.
This is our immigration reform.
Yes,
just
right?
Tell them what we really do to our citizens.
I can tell you the metadata of the last bowel movement you had.
Metadata this.
It was the UPC code of the food that I ate to make it
yes.
that really scared me.
So, the, this immigration bill, if you go out and you oppose it, you're being called, you know, by the left. If you oppose the immigration bill, you're, you know, you hate Mexican people and Hispanics, and you I don't know. It's just, it's so full of hyperbole and this manipulation of political language that we talked about with Snowden. That just, you know, you go out on the street and you ask most people, do you want there to be immigration reform? And they say yes. But then, do you want immigration reform where this, and these other 400 things happen?
I hate that.
No.
Not at all. It's funny. I think New Hampshire is a great microcosm of this, is that's where the Free State Project is. But New Hampshire's always been live free or die. You know, we're the most free state. And all of a sudden, some freedom-loving individuals start moving in there and mm-hmm. electing libertarian councilmen and politicians. And they're changing our state. we don't love freedom so much anymore.
Right.
And that's like India, or I mean, that's, you know, the U.S., this immigration policy on a grander scale.
It's just the same with healthcare. You go out and you say, do you want a change in our healthcare system? Is it broken? Yes. Well, do you want to pay more for your health insurance and have less access to your healthcare provider and not be able to have access to the doctor that you want? Well, no. Well, then why did you vote for the guy who told you that you'd get Obamacare? I know, I'm sorry. We're really beating up on Gina.
Because he
here,
convinced me with my hope and change sandwich.
Yes. I mean, it's the devil is in the details.
Because
of all
he
these
was
major
not
pills.
A effing Bush. I mean, I would have taken anything at that point.
Yeah, I know.
You got Bush again.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. Except,
joke's on you.
Except he just got health care for old people.
Right.
Obama just did it for everybody.
He permanently broke the health care system, the student loan system, the immigration system, soon to be the.
I got nothing. I got nothing. I wish I had a defense.
But it's not
all
like,
those things are untrue.
But
said nobody
on the
ever.
Other side of it, John McCain was no choice at all.
Right.
You know, so I mean.
Mitt Romney. I mean. It's,
no, God, no. No. No, there are no good choices. But until a Gary Johnson can win or till someone like that can win. And then the question becomes, if someone like that wins, can they even do anything?
Right.
I think there's a lot to be said for Barack Obama wanting to change things but not being able to change things. And I think we really talked a lot about that last episode. But
because I made you get philosophical and see him as a human being.
I see Barack Obama as a human being. I'm not one of these people who thinks that he's a horrible person and that he's, you know, out to ruin the country and he's a scary socialist muzzle. I think he is a guy who legitimately wants to help people and thought he could help people by being president and now realizes he can't help people by being president
but
at
he did.
All and hates his job.
But he did help some people by being president. I mean, you can't deny the fact that
Acorn and
defunded
Muslim Brotherhood, right? That's who he helped.
Oh, Lord.
No.
Admit it. Facts.
Who has he helped? That would be
who
an
has
interesting show.
At a minimum, every little child across America who's not Lily White that looks up at
the... Would you stop it with the racial politics, Melissa Paris Harry, or whatever your name is?
At
stop
a
it.
Minimum, he is an inspiration.
Check your white privilege at my door. Because in this house, we have liberty, justice...
parts of me all over you. And
it has been, hold on, it's been 16 years since Tiger Woods came on the PGA Tour, and we still have one African-American golfer. So looking up to people doesn't exactly set a precedent for future gains or beliefs in yourself or anything like that. I'm just saying, that's not...
Believe me, if there was a woman in the White House, there would be more women who would think it was a possibility.
You ran for office, did you feel like...
Because I've known since I was in fourth grade that I was going to be the first woman
president.
So if
Sarah Palin had won for president, would you have felt like you can do it too?
Sarah Palin can eat a d***.
Okay, well, there we go.
D*** is not a bad word.
It is.
Just
it is
edit
when
that
you're
with,
telling Sarah Palin to eat one.
Say eat an elk. Then it'll be, you know, contextually
appropriate. I don't understand what you're talking about with this white privilege stuff. Because you as a female.
Yes.
Who was with child at the time.
Yes.
I don't understand what barriers you faced on
you
getting
no
on the ballot.
I have no idea what barriers I faced. Not getting on the ballot, but getting... You know, getting...
That's because you were a libertarian,
but
not
did
a woman.
You have? But did you have challenges that every other that Wes Bishop?
Yes,
faced?
Absolutely. Here's let me
like
give
what?
You this example. You mentioned that I was pregnant. There was a point before I stepped out to give a debate where it occurred to me that every other candidate sitting there had butterflies in their stomach, and I had a human in mind.
Stop it!
It happened.
You're being silly.
That fact happened.
You're being silly. But answer my question.
Okay.
Do you feel like there was anything extraordinary? Because everybody,
yes.
Every single candidate, hold on, every single candidate is going to have their own unique challenges.
Absolutely.
Rupert has challenges because he has a beard and looks like, you
yes,
know, Rupert.
The piratism, it's got to suck.
You know.
He had, like, mass recognition from being on corporate television for many, many occasions.
Right.
It must have just really sucked to be Rupert.
It kind of did several times.
Okay, I will give you that because there were people who confused him with other contestants on that show.
There were more. No, but
his...
there were a lot of people who thought that he was joke candidacy.
Yeah.
And that okay. It was a stunt. Okay. You know.
You think people thought mine was a serious bid?
I thought you were serious.
I did too, but a lot of people gave me a very hard time.
I know, but do
you were right there till you brought up chemtrails and Building 7. Otherwise, you'd have had it.
Not hold on.
Answer the question. As a female candidate,
yes.
What glass ceiling was there for you? Your opponent was completely respectful to you.
Yeah, absolutely. My opponent, I would never have a negative word to say about. He was a very remarkable individual. And so that definitely gave me a cushion, because how are you going to come out against the female pregnant lady who is a hardworking single mom?
So now it sounds like the man faces a disadvantage to me.
And it's, I'm telling you, it's not like she didn't use her pregnancy to gain a little advantage.
No, I didn't. I could have. You could have known in everything that I did that I was pregnant, but I never mentioned it. I couldn't help being 40 pounds overweight and having a boulder of a child on the front of me. I couldn't hide it. I mean, I had blazers and what have you, but I was still evidently pregnant.
Well, you felt like it was a disadvantage, and I repeatedly told you no, it's not, because people...
Because you weren't sitting there with an extra 40 pounds on your abdomen.
Listen, you had a baby and you lost your belly. I have to do sit-ups, so don't cry hardship
not
to me.
Sit-ups.
I've been
You have to do sit-ups. I had to push a human being. I had to expel a human from my body.
Do you
I'm not
know
even
what my diet is like?
Orifices.
Have you ever eaten at Bakersfield? Don't talk to me about expelling something from your body.
I'm just saying, I just don't see... I saw your race. I saw hundreds of candidates run the races, and I just did not see hardships for the African-American candidates, the female candidates, the white candidates, the Hispanic candidates. They all had the same exact struggle, which was that they were libertarians. It wasn't about racial politics. It wasn't about identity politics. I just don't understand what you're trying to put across, because...
I didn't. You brought it up.
I know, but you're telling me it's hard.
I'm
it's
just saying
terrible
that he's,
for you.
All that my only statement was that Barack Obama serves as an inspiration to young people who look up to him and say that you do not have to be white to be in the White House.
Completely.
That's
and
it.
I also agree that he is also a great role model for any person on the planet when it comes to family.
Yeah.
I think that he's a good dad. I think
we'll end up finding out a lot of things about his husbandom as soon as they get out of the White House.
I think
you always do.
But I'm not going to believe Michelle's propaganda.
They're certainly
angry at the world since
she
was
totally
born.
Team Obama in the team Michelle versus team Obama.
Oh gosh,
that's for sure.
I'm team Bo, the dog.
But I'm just saying that, you know, at least through the first term, he got a lot of flack from a lot of congressmen because he didn't do what the other presidents had done, which was ignore their family time and have them over for dinner. And then, you know, the kids have some crusty old white fart from Oregon in their dining room table when they want to talk to their dad about their homework and their problems.
Right.
Like, I think he has been a good family role model. I think he legitimately thought that he could make changes. And I think the system is so big and so complex and so broad that even an ideologue like Barack Obama, who has these grand visions, can't make even fundamental changes without Congress screwing it up. And I think immigration is the perfect example of that. Healthcare is a perfect example of that. Time and time again, we have these big things where these big ideas want to be achieved by this president. And it'd be the same if Rand Paul were president. He'd face the same exact challenges.
Yep.
He'd
want to cut the military budget, and all of a sudden he'd find out that that can't be done.
Right.
Why can't it be done?
Because, one, no one wants to go run... Why did you cut the GI Bill? Why did you cut benefits for the VA? Why did you cut all these things? Because
so
it doesn't matter if they were
intact and stop.
I know, but I mean, it doesn't matter if you cut military funding. Why do you want veterans to be homeless, Gina?
We'll see.
Why are you so uncaring?
What if I put a shitload of money into veterans affairs and veterans issues, and I take it all out?
Well, did you or
else.
Did you not cut the military budget? Because we only have time for a 5-second sound clip.
Well, oh,
that's
burn.
Why.
Okay,
that's no, I'm
fact
saying,
though. No, you're right.
Right. I mean,
can't deny it.
Our entire system, because we have a media that is set up to just give you the basic, well, why do you hate immigrants?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you not want immigrants to hear? Why do you want little Sally Muck and Fudge to lose the left right?
I almost wrote down Muck and Fudge here just to let you know.
The left leg instead of the right leg. I mean, it's not all in the media. Okay, a lot of it is us. And this is my closing point, and we'll dive into the end of the show here. So prepare your final points, lady and gentlemen. My final point for this show is that you have to pay attention. You just don't have a choice. By not paying attention, by listening to this podcast in silence and not sharing the information that we you don't have to share the podcast. We don't care. But if you find a piece of information or you hear of a book that we recommend or a video that we play or something that we post on social media or any other outlet that you find illustrates a point that you believe to be true, you've got to spread the word. And then beyond that, you've got to start organizing. We've got to start meeting together and getting networks built to start getting our rights back. I mean, the Fifth Amendment is now under attack. Right. It is now the last piece of the Bill of Rights that was sacred, that the government repeatedly respected, which was keeping your mouth shut when you're under suspicion. You know, that whole thing about when you're read your Miranda rights, you have the right to remain silent. That doesn't apply anymore because of the Supreme Court ruling. Which hopefully that applies, you know, bad for your average criminal, good for us when it comes to the IRS, because now whatever they've said, it counts, I guess. But that's gone now, too. You don't have a right to be silent.
Right.
You just don't anymore. And it's time for you to start gathering. We're now facing issues where it is no longer left versus right, blue versus red. What team are you on? I support this team, that team.
Those barriers are coming down.
Yeah, that shit doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-mm.
It is now time where you have to start finding people who believe in our Bill of Rights. And that is why Rand Paul's initial filibuster was so important, because it started bringing together people like where Michael Moore and Glenn Beck and
Ron Wyden
and Van Jones are all on the same team. Because we all believe in these certain set of fundamental American principles, and we need to start fighting for them.
Right.
So I don't care if you're Gina, who disagrees with me on some of the racial politics
of
the day.
Some of the everything.
Or Greg, who believes that there should be this or that. None of that matters. The 90% of the things that libertarians agree on that we fight about, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm just starting to scream every time I'm giving you a big Hillary Clinton. What difference does it make? And we have to start shouting that repeatedly. And you have to start building networks online and in person so we can start fighting for the fundamental principles, get in our politicians' faces, and get active.
We almost need an impeachment trigger for votes by that you are automatically...
I'm saying
for impeachment in Congress if you don't uphold or vote towards the Constitution.
Find out every single congressperson. Every single congressperson has district meetings. They go on all the time. Get a camera and get in your congressperson's face respectfully, but get them on camera.
Respectfully get in that face, kids.
Or get a job with Booz Allen and get into their computer files.
Right.
Ouch.
And get them on record and do not let them not answer, because this bull crap politician, I'm not going to answer the question, does not work anymore.
Yeah, don't let them dance anymore. That's one of the things I really noticed when I would do events when I was running, is that they would ask a question and I would answer a question and listen to 19 sets of speaking points and polished smiles go down the row. And I would just sit there. Like, I'm sure if you could find the footage of the times that I was taped or filmed, I bet my face is just priceless as some of these people were talking.
Your face is priceless.
Oh, it's just, you know, being a politician, you're so well-versed in the Fowler speak of saying, I'm so glad you brought that up, Gina. And that's why it's so important we reach out to these
individuals.
Right,
it was like a beauty
that's
pageant.
I'm just here to start a dialogue. F*** the dialogue. There's no more dialogue. We're to
Cure
tell
dialogue.
You, we are here to tell you what our rights are and how you're going to respect them. We are libertarians. It's not about starting a conversation.
Nope.
We don't give a shit about your conversation. We are here to tell you what we believe and what we think is right and what you ought to do and how you can do it. That's what we're here for. And this whole starting a conversation, I'm not going to have a conversation about the National Security Agency violating my Fourth Amendment anymore.
Never
going to
happen.
There's not a conversation to be had.
These are not speaking words. These are fighting
words. I'm not
going
to let President Obama go up and go on TV and say, well, it's about blending your privacy and the, you know,
no.
security.
That
no,
doesn't
no, no, no,
matter.
No. Absolutely not. Because we would have been more secure if we had stayed under British rule in 1776.
We sure would have. Good point, Greg.
You know what? So, no. I'm not going to listen to that crap from anyone, especially if you call me a racist. I will come back at you 100 times.
I want to give a shout out to Todd Rakita.
Racist.
Indiana Republican Todd
like you,
Rakita.
Gina.
Indiana Republican Tyler Keita and California Representative Democrat Adam Schiff, they introduced a bill to make the FISA court processes completely transparent, actually open. We have to see what the process is. We have to see what's going on with the data. There's no more hiding behind the committee. Because even though we think Ron Wyden and the other one, or Mark Udall, are these heroes, they've spent 2 or 3 years saying, well, there's bad things, and when the American people find out what they are, there's going to be hell to pay. Well, I'm sorry. Which is your oath? Your oath to keep those secrets that you find violate the Constitution, or the oath to the Constitution itself? Which is more important to the American people? Ron Wyden point blank asked the man who runs the National Security Agency. He gave him an opportunity to come clean without Udall or without Wyden exposing what he knew, and Clapper lied to our faces. Our government can no longer be trusted. The people like David Gregory, who are their official mouthpieces, can no longer be trusted. And it's time to start getting in their faces with cameras and asking them what they truly believe and not taking no for an answer. Point blank, plain and simple. And if you don't do it, then you're not really doing anything. Period.
I hate to be that one that says that, but if you're not doing anything, you're really more part of the problem than you are the solution.
If you're not speaking up, if you're not getting active, if you're not banding together, then you are doing something. You're letting them win. Plain and simple. Run for office, because when that line got to Gina and 19 people flat out lied to everybody's faces, Gina was the candidate who said exactly what needed to be done, gave the point of the solution of what needed to be done. And you know why Gina did that? Is because Gina, frankly, didn't feel like she could win. All right? Am I lying? Am I saying something out of turn?
No, I won't say that that's a lie. No, I did not have any expectations of winning.
And so even though she didn't win, she went out there and she put pressure on her politician to actually tell the truth. Because when you put his, you know, sunshine and rainbows mentality next to Gina's actual truth, he looked like an idiot. And he started to hate that. So he started to be a little more honest. And so if you don't like, if you think that you can't win as a libertarian, you're an idiot. Because Gina won. Because it influenced her elected official who did win to become more libertarian and to become more open and transparent. And it's not just about winning elections. That's part of it. Because libertarians can win elections, but there's also another purpose for third parties. So quit being a bunch of idiots. So there you go. All right. Greg, what's your final item for the week?
Just real quick on immigration, it has to happen, and it's going to happen, because they see it as a way to fund all the entitlement programs, because we're slowing down on population growth. So watch for that. It's inevitable. And then two, I think the way we can handle this, I do, is if people quit running as libertarians and we're like Ohio State, it's the Democrat Party or the Republican Party.
Then
we will finally catch on and win the games.
Could you imagine if you could vote the Republicrat, like, straight ticket?
Yes.
See, manipulating the political language for our own benefit.
Yep. See? You have to use their tactics against them.
No doubt.
Gina, your final plot. Yeah.
Mostly, I just want to say that, you know, I think that you're right. You do. If you're doing nothing, you're doing something. You're exercising your inactivity and your inability to pass on information. And there was a friend of mine today who was like trying to bring up the Snowden issue. And so he danced around it and tried to get other people to put their opinions in, because he came out and flagrantly admitted, I am afraid to speak my truth and I'm hoping other people will speak it for me. But I am compelled to make sure somebody's talking about it. Stop being chicken. Get up and start saying things. If you want to say chicken. I mean, it's
nothing produces more change than the word chicken.
Yes.
I totally agree.
Yes.
That, and I wanted to point out and again reiterate that I called it on the Paula Deen Oprah thing.
All right. Well, quit being a bunch of, if you're not one of these people, then this doesn't apply to you. Stop being a scaredy cat, a spineless jellyfish, overthinking things. Just get out there and do something. Monitor your local politicians. Choose a local body. Choose a level of government, and you're going to be the one that tells people through a blog, by writing letters to the editor, by passing out pamphlets in your local neighborhood. Even that, all you can affect is the people around you. All the only power that we have is the people that are in our circles. I can't influence Barack Obama. Barack Obama has no idea who any of the people listening to this podcast are unless David Axelrod started tuning in. And I highly doubt it.
No.
Rahm Emanuel might like this podcast, though. I've just got a sneaking suspicion. But they are never going to hear this podcast. They're never going to hear what we have to say. But your friends and family, they need to be educated. Because
never say never.
The majority of the people listening to this podcast kind of knew what was going on with the NSA. You kind of knew. You had the full information when you were making your votes. Can you say that the American public, we rant about how dumb they are? Well, are they dumb when they don't have the full information because they're being lied to by their politicians?
Right.
Because the media is getting away with it? They're not dumb. They're just not informed because they're being lied to. So be the agent of change in your friends and family's life. That's all you can do. You can't affect Barack Obama. You may be able to affect a congressman. Your senator probably doesn't care. But your friends and family...
That's where change starts.
That's where it starts.
And I do not mean this for promotional self-promotion or anything like that, but I'd written earlier this week a guide on like the selling libertarianism. And all it is a series of questions I would encourage everyone to go through. And what it does is it forces you... The modern political debate is not even about why we have government. It's about what is good government and what isn't good government.
Right.
And you have to go back further than that. If you're going to change someone's mind, you have to make them question what the purpose of it is and then start from there.
Right.
So I would encourage you at least take a look at it. Get some of the questions down. And when you're having a family dinner, when you're talking with friends, get them to fundamentally question their beliefs, because there's no way of just painting a different layer of, you know, putting on a different layer of paint and calling yourself someone different.
All right. Well, I feel like we did better than last week. I feel like this went really well. I feel like Gina did a good job, except for that one part in the middle. Greg, you're exceptional as always.
Always, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
We are not even going to do the tagline because we clearly
did not suck.
We did better than last week. All right, so we'll see you next week. We may have a special secondary episode to make up for our lack of an episode last week, just to cover the ruling on the gay marriage issues that'll come out.
Yay, in Syria? We get to have Gay Christmas Day.
We might get to Syria. We might not. We're going to probably on Saturday talk to Joe Ruiz and Ryan Ripley, two people who ran for office. Who have extraordinary tales of making a difference in their local community and getting active. So we're going to talk to them about how to do that, and that should be coming out hopefully Saturday. So,
well, that's just because Joe's an Illuminatus.
Well, hey. Joe is really, you know, there's a couple people on this podcast that are not on this podcast at the moment that you got to worry about. Okay, they're in the Star Chamber. There's one that's a Freemason.
Yep.
There's another one that is in Washington, D.C., rubbing elbows at the Heritage Foundation.
I think he polishes. His official job title is John Cornyn's forehead polisher. I believe that's what it actually is.
I mean, I'm just saying we didn't have them on this episode to rant against the man for a reason.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right. Hey, fight the man.
Fight the man.
Take no excuses.
Take no
That's right.
By doing nothing, you're not being American.
I want everyone to know that I'm pointing my finger.
It is a very intense point.
All right. Y'all be good, and we'll see you next week.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.
Or the new MySpace.
By the way,
it's not monitored by the NSA,
by the way. You
should
talk about that on the Uncontrollables. So anyways, back to Victor Boot. He is a Russian citizen who was extradited to the U.S., and Russia wanted him back. And the United States said, Putin, go Putin yourself. We're not giving you your stuff back. And Maya, as I say that, is taking my equipment out of my apartment. And
not just equipment. Several other things.
Yeah.
At gunpoint, no less.
Let's just pause here.
Why are we pausing? Oh, okay. We love you, Maya. Goodbye.
Yeah, because you guys keep leaving shit
out. It's taking 5 minutes to get a point out.
When's this come out?
Probably... I'll be done with it probably tonight or tomorrow.
When's it air?
Whenever I get done. So probably tomorrow.
Okay. So, like, five things you've left out that have happened in the past, like, 3 days. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to release the bar, and it's already going to be way too fucking high. But that's okay. I won't add any of those points in.
Text them to us. Stop being a bitch.
No, I'm not going to help this dude.
You can sit in.
I'll give you the microphone here in a second.
Just let me make the point.
We got to go to the Patsy thing.
All right.
Help this dude. Make her text it to me.
I won't be listening.
Text whatever the things are. There are five things.
Give a hug.
Text the things.
I could just, like, stand up and walk away with it.
I know.
Wonderful. Why can't I be that small?
Why can't I be that tall? I carry you everywhere.
Well, I'm going to leave this here. I don't want to leave it in my car again.
Yeah.
It's really fucking hot.
That's a good idea.
You won't have any microphones in it anyways.
It's okay. Come back and get it. Just now.
No. Thank you for throwing that in there.
Delicately.
Delicately. Captain Delicate. My accident. Goodbye.
There isn't a link to our.
Oh, did you leave the door for you?
That was a bitch move.
Leave me here.
I don't know.
With these libertarians.